God, praise God. Well, it's just a few more weary days and then I'm my way to a land with yours will never end. God, praise the Lord. Amen. Looking forward to the day. Amen. When he says, come up hither. Glory to God. The Lord has prepared so much for us. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Things that God has prepared for those that he loves. Amen. And I love the Lord today so much. Good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Got a lot going on. Be a part of it. We got several announcements, upcoming events, and just kind of be a part of it. Enjoy the holidays, and there's no place I'd rather be on any holiday than in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just serving and worshiping the Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. Mark tonight. St. Mark chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 35. St. Mark chapter number 4, verse 35 through verse number 40. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's precious holy word. Reading from the book of St. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love and thank you, God, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship tonight. Thank you for those who have gathered here tonight. Father, I pray that we'll lay aside every weight tonight. God, that we'll be in one mind and one accord, receptive, God, to what you have for us tonight. Father, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would anoint this vessel tonight. God, to speak that you would have us to hear. God, anoint our ears. God, anoint these lips. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, we're so thankful for your blessings. We're so thankful for the miracles, for the healings. God, for the prayers that you've answered. And by faith, Lord, we want to praise you tonight. God, for the things that you're still going to do. So many prayers are going out. So many needs, God. So much affliction and sickness. But we know that you are the healer of the body. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, Even Jesus Had Storms. Even Jesus had storms. So many times we think we're the only one that ever has to go through storms. And according to the way that we share most of the time, our storm is bigger, more horrendous than anybody else's storm. Because it happened to us personally. Because it just seems like that nobody else has had it as hard or as bad as we have. And I've talked about this message. I've preached all around this message for years and years. And I was reading this afternoon, and this is not even where I was headed, but I began to read this story, and I began to think. First of all, I was kind of amused by the writing of Mark when he said in verse number 6, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And then I began to recall the story, how that Jesus was teaching, and there was a group of people that was on the shore, and he got into one of the boats, and he launched out. And somebody told me that the sound carries so much better across the water, and it was customary for people who spoke sometimes to get in the ship and kind of launch out a little bit from the water. I don't know if that was the case at all. I just remember reading the story that Jesus got into the boat, and he got one of the disciples to push the boat out, and he was speaking and teaching to the multitude that was lined up along the shore, and then they sent the multitude home. I guess it was after the service, after church, and they decided that they was going to go over. Now, if you remember when they went over to the other side, the Bible says immediately there met him a man with an evil spirit. Now, how many times have we gotten out of revival? How many times have we gotten out of a good church service? How many times have we left the door, amen, in praise and worship, and we encounter immediately an evil spirit that tries to face us and tries to come against us? I used to hear folks testify, especially after a good service. They said, well, we really got the devil man tonight. Ain't no telling what he's going to do tomorrow. And was almost prophesying that the devil was going to give us fits or something, when we ought to be understanding that Jesus said, why do you have no faith? Why do we not have any faith to believe that that same God that was with us in praise and worship is still going to be with us when we get on to the other side, and when we immediately meet that evil spirit or that sickness or that affliction or whatever may be out there? In other words, for us to meet head on, we know that God's grace is sufficient, and we know that his power is real. And I began to think about that, and then I began to think about the storm. And so many times, and even in my ministry and even my sermons that I preached in, it was always the focus was on the disciples. Quite naturally, because that's where the fear was. And you know, when we talk about that, and we kind of associate our lives with the disciples, because when we have a problem, we want Jesus to be awake. And then we want him to be available. We want him to be there. And many, many times, I think that when we read that scripture, automatically we begin to focus on the disciples and what a terrible storm that was. But I want to bring to our attention tonight, there's two ways to handle this storm. One was the way that the disciples handled the storm. And the other, I think the best way, is the way that Jesus handled the storm. You see, so many times that I haven't thought so much about Jesus was in the midst of the storm with him. You might want to say it this way: he was in the same boat. He was in the same boat. His life was just in as much peril as the disciples was. Jesus wasn't a seasoned sailor like some of the fishermen was, like Peter and James and John, I think, were experienced fishermen. Probably a lot of times they had been on the waves, and a lot of times they had encountered terrible storms. But as I begin to read in scripture and run reference on this particular storm, everywhere that I could read, this was not an ordinary storm. This was not just one of those little thunderstorms that comes in a summer thunderstorm and kind of pops up and is gone. It wasn't. Everything that I read said it was almost, the winds were like hurricane winds. It was a devastating storm. It was a miraculous storm. It came up unannounced. And I would imagine that if they had known the storm that they was going to encounter on this time, they wouldn't have launched out of the boat. But nevertheless, they were there, and the storm began to hit them, and it began to rock the boat, and the waves began to overflood them, and they began to look around, and all of a sudden the boat was filled to water. The water was up to the top of the ship, and they were afraid that they were going to perish, afraid that they were going to sink. And the whole time Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. asleep on a pillow. I looked and I thought about a pillow, but basically during that time, those boats had a leather bench in the back part of the ship. I'm not sure which is the starboard and which is not, but he was in the hinder part of the ship, and he was laying there. And don't you imagine that if the storm arose, and if the people were panicking, and there was a lot of noise and a lot of wind, and all, it'd be very, very difficult to try to sleep during that particular storm. But Jesus was asleep, and I thought about that. Jesus was not asleep because he didn't have feelings for his disciples. Amen? He wasn't asleep because he wasn't concerned. He was asleep because he was in total and absolute peace, even in the midst of a violent storm.
Yes.
And I thought about that. Lord, that's the kind of faith that you was telling the disciples that they need. That's the kind of faith that we need today. So many times we're feeling sorry for the disciples because they're afraid that are about to perish. But Jesus knew without a shadow of a doubt that everything was going to be all right. He knew the boat was going to reach the other side. Amen. That's meant sometimes we can't have that faith. We can only have the faith, amen, that sees exactly what's in front of us, not the faith to believe that the Lord is going to take us through the storm. Amen. He'll be there in the storm with us. But I've thought so many times, Lord, if I could only handle the storms in my life the way that you handled that storm. Not only was he at peace, but when they woke him up, they said, don't you care? Don't you care? Can you identify with that question tonight? Oh, I can. I can. I've prayed prayers. Lord, aren't you concerned? Don't you care what I'm going through? Can't you see, Lord, what misery I'm in? Can't you see, Lord, the turmoil that's in my life? Do you not realize how severe this storm is? Do you not understand and know? Do you care, Lord, that I'm about to perish? Do you understand that the waves are coming up in my ship, in my spiritual ship, and I'm about to sink? I've had just about all that I can take. I've got the Popeye syndrome. That's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. I got to have some relief. I got to have the Lord to come on the scene. Do you not care what I'm going through? And the whole time, he is totally and absolutely relaxed, amen, and in constant and perfect peace. Because he knows the storm, and he knows the outcome of the storm. And I thought, as Jesus woke up, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. You know, I looked at the Hebrew, and the Hebrew said he muffled it. He muffled it. Amen. He muffled the sea. The sea was roaring. Amen. The sea was boisterous. The winds were kicking up the white caps, and they were overcoming in the boat and splashing around. But Jesus got up and he muffled the noise. He muffled the wind. He said, peace, be still. Amen. And even the seas had to obey him. Amen. Even the environment around that storm had to obey the Lord. As horrendous and as terrible as that violent as that storm was. And Jesus just woke up and he rebuked it right there. And I thought, Lord, if I could only endure the storms the way that you endure the storms, if you be that perfect example, and I could have the peace, Lord, and the serenity just in the midst of my problems and trials, just to slow down and say, peace be still. Peace be still. Remember, this is what Jesus said. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? Now, if Jesus wasn't in the boat, it'd be time to be afraid. Amen? If you're trying to handle your storm without Jesus, no wonder you're afraid. Amen? If you're trying to go through the midst of a fiery furnace trial and you don't know where Jesus is, you have no idea where he is, no wonder you're fearful. But if you know where Jesus is, if you know where he lives, if he has taken up his abode in your life, why are you so fearful? Why do we become so frustrated? Why do we get so agitated when we come to the midst of these storms? Why can't we exemplify the life of Jesus and as he was that perfect example of us? Just speak, peace be still. And as soon as he said, peace be still, the wind ceased, and there was not an ordinary calm. The Bible said there was a great calm. Amen. How many has experienced that? Amen. When you thought the storm was so severe, when you thought the storm was certainly going to take your life, your spiritual life, when you were drained
and you'd gone just about as far as you could go, and but you got a hold of the hand of the Lord, and somehow, some way, you mustered up enough faith to say, "Peace be still, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to touch this storm, God, to calm this storm that is raging in my life." Then there comes an overwhelming sense of peace and a great calm. You've seen the ocean, how violent it can be, and how big the waves can be, but so you've also seen it when there's no wind blowing at all, and it's almost a mirror, as you can see the stillness of the sea as it's just kind of motionless. And I believe it came instantly. I believe as soon as Jesus spoke, amen, the winds had to obey his voice. Amen. The storm had to cease. Oh, if we could get a hold of that tonight, amen. If we could just understand the power of the Lord, if we could understand the faith, amen, that we can have, and if we'll exercise that faith, the mighty power of God will come on the scene for you. It'll calm your storms. It'll calm your nerves, amen. It'll settle everything in your life. Just when you seem like everything is falling down around you and you don't know which way to turn, amen, understand and know that Jesus is still in the boat, amen. He's still right there with us, and he's not worried about the situation, and we shouldn't worry about it either, as long as we got Jesus, amen. As long as he can speak peace, be still, amen. Isn't it a good thing that when they left, they made sure that Jesus was in the boat? They took him even as he was in the ship, and there were other also little ships with him. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about those other little ships. Those other little ships that are affected by the storms in our life. Amen. How many knows that when we're in the midst of the storm, we may think that we're alone. We may think that we're facing this situation without any help, and it only affects us. But let me tell you something. Sometimes the storms in your life affect other little ships around you. Sometimes it affects those children. Sometimes it affects that spouse. Sometimes it affects those people you work with. Amen? Because here's the thing about it. If we want to be a shining light for Jesus, if we want to be a living testimony for the fact that we believe and trust in God and we know God is able to make a way, and those other little ships around us, and they see us panicking in the midst of a storm. They see us throwing our hands up and wanting to quit. They see us pointing a finger of accusation to the Lord. Amen. For things that we're going through, they're going to be affected. But how many knows, amen, if we have peace in our life, it's going to calm the other little ships that are around us. There's not anything said about those other little ships that were around him, but I believe they were in the midst of the storm too. But when God steals your storm, amen, he comforts those around you. Hallelujah. God, so glad, praise God, amen, that when you exercise faith, it not only affects you, but it affects others around you. It'll affect the church, amen. When somebody comes through a storm and gives a testimony of praise, other little ships around that, other little people are going to realize that God is no respecter of persons, and what he's done for one, he'll do for the others, amen. If we understand that we have the power through the authority in the name of Jesus to say, "Storm, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," I ask you right now, if you'll exercise that faith, peace be still, amen, and cause a great calm in your life, and it will affect those other lives around you. It'll affect others, amen, who see your testimony, who witness your testimony, and it encourages the faith. That's the reason I love testimony services so much, because I realize when somebody stands and testifies how that God came on a scene for them and he healed them or he anointed them or he made a way, amen, that builds up my faith, amen. That's a testimony of God's grace and his mercy and his overwhelming power and ability to calm us in the midst of the storm. And he says, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith?" It's not like they hadn't seen the power of the Lord before. They'd witnessed it many times. They'd witnessed it through miracles. The miracles of the fishes and the five loaves and the feeding of the 5,000 and the anointing of the blind man's eyes and the healing of the lady with the issue of blood. And they've witnessed the power of God. And I ask us tonight, how many times do we have to be reminded how that God has come on the scene for us? Amen. This is just another storm. This is just another trial. Amen. But I'm going to get through it the same way that I got through the last one. Holding hand in hand with my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's going to make a way. He made a way for that one. He's going to make a way for this one. Amen. You know, there's a song that says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And when you get a concept of that, when you really, really grip that and understand that I know that my Lord holds tomorrow and he holds me in the palm of the hand. So whatever storm arises in my life, and it may even be severe, it may be blowing like it's never blown before, but I'm still wanting to have that same faith. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to worry. I don't want to fret. I don't want to get upset, because when I do that, that shows a lack of faith. I don't want to speak to them. I want to speak to the storm. When's the last time you spoke to that problem, that trial, that storm, as in this case? And said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Amen. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to stand strong even in this storm. The winds may be blowing. The water may be coming over and filling the ship. Amen. But as long as Jesus is in the ship, amen, as long as the Spirit of the Lord is in here, we will not sink. Amen. We will not be destroyed. Because greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world, and he that's facing us. So many problems, so many things that we encounter. Amen. But we understand and know that Jesus, amen, will make a way. And the disciples feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? How many knows that the Lord has power over everything, over your problems, over your situations? So are you having a storm? Are you battling? Are you facing something that just seems like it's insurmountable? It just seems like, and they do a wonderful analogy here. I think this is probably one of the greatest analogies that's in the Bible, because even though that was a physical storm, the winds were really blowing, Brother Jim. This was not just a parable. This really was an account of how severe the winds of like hurricane strength was blowing against. And this was an actual thing where the disciples actually thought their lives to be in peril. But Jesus calmed that storm. But maybe our storm is not a physical storm. Maybe it's not the actual winds that blow. It's not the fiery furnace that we can feel the heat of. But still, it seems like it's a big storm in our life, because it continues to keep us captivated. It continues to keep us maybe bound, and we can't seem to get deliverance from it. And my question is the same question that Jesus asked. Why are you so little with faith? Why are you so fearful? It's just another storm. It's just another trial. It's just another setback. Amen. But if you can learn to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, peace. Be still. Soul, be still. Have peace in your life. Speak that peace into your life. It may be a sickness. It may be an affliction. It may be a financial burden. Whatever. There's nothing too big for God. Nothing whatsoever. Things that seem enormous to us, things that we make mountains out of, amen, are nothing more than the Lord just speaking and making those things done. But let me tell you, when he does it, he wants to get praise for it. Amen. When he does it, he wants to be acknowledged. Amen. For the prayers, amen, that we've sent up. He understands and knows that we're going through situations. But when those prayers are answered, amen, he wants to receive glory for it. And I don't mind giving him honor and glory, because he's brought me through so many storms, brought me through so many trials. And I just want to understand that, Lord, the next one that I come through, and I'm not prophesying that I'm going to have a storm, but I just know that as long as you're serving the Lord, amen, there are going to be storms. There are going to be situations that arise in your life. But nothing is too big for God. Peace be still. Because even, don't think you're the Lone Ranger, that you're the only one that's ever suffered a storm. And Jesus suffered a storm. He was in the midst. But man, if we could handle the storm like Jesus did, just go to the back of the boat and take a nap. Amen, it's going to pass over. We're going to all be all right. Not going to lose a soul. Give me that kind of faith, Lord. Give me that kind of trust to put my faith and trust in you through any circumstance, through any situation. May God bless you. Love you so much. I pray that if you are in the midst of the storm, I pray that you'll release your faith to the Lord. He'll make a way for you,
even in the midst of a fiery storm or trial. Yes. Would you stand tonight? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, if you are here, and I don't know anything. I don't know what you may be facing. Maybe everything is going great. But if there's a storm in your life, and it can be severe, you know, because it's happening to you, it's personal. Why don't you just come to this altar tonight? Why don't you just exercise that faith? Say, peace be still. Do you think that you can't have peace? Do you think that you just can't have that contentment? Do you think that you've just got too much on your plate, too many things going on, you just can't get peace in your life? Why don't you come down and just give it all? There's a commercial that says bundle it. Why don't you bundle it and give it to Jesus tonight? While every head is bowed, every eye closed, is there one tonight? This altar's open. If not, is there one that would just lift your hand? Let this pastor know that you need prayer. I promise I'll be praying this week. God bless those hands. We see them and we're going to be praying for them. I love you so much. Thank you for being here tonight. We love you and appreciate you. Hope you have a wonderful evening and a great week. But Jim, would you come dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Congregation who are still sick, many are afflicted. Let's continue to pray for them that God will touch and anoint their bodies. Have a wonderful evening and this Thanksgiving week coming up.
Yes,
amen.
It is.
Every day ought to be Thanksgiving. Amen. But especially during this time of Thanksgiving, just be thankful for what the Lord has done for us and what He's given us. Brother Jim, if you would, dismiss us with a word of prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
God is great. Yes, He is.
We miss Him so much.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Each and every one of y'all has a special place in our hearts and part of this, the integral part of this church, and we love each and every one of you. You are missed when you're not here, and so glad to see everybody. Just praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And for those of you that had, if you were off, and it makes an opportunity to come, don't forget it's been moved to 7 p.m. instead of the old time of 7:30. So it's 7 p.m. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Y'all have a wonderful start of the week, and just continue just to put the Lord first in all that you do. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, dear Lord, for this time you've given us, dear Lord, for allowing us to feast on your word. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, for each and every family represented here, dear Lord, we ask for you just to continue to bless them, to protect, to heal, to touch. And dear Lord, for those that aren't with us this morning or this evening, dear Lord, We ask now, dear Lord, that you would just be with them. Lord, heal their bodies, strengthen them if they're at work or traveling, whatever the situations are. Dear Lord, we know there'll be a lot of people on the highways this week. Lord, keep each and every one safe. Bring them back at their appointed time. But most of all, dear Lord, we just love you. And dear Lord, we praise you and we worship you. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a great week. See y'all Wednesday.